This podcast replay is brought to you by Craig Zinn's Acura Pembroke Pines. Visit the number one volume Acura dealership in the Southeast United States 12 years in a row at 15601 Pines Boulevard in Pembroke Pines.
Speaking of Ira and the Heat, Francisco, when they signed Hassan Whiteside, I said, terrible. It's a terrible signing. So there you go. These are the things. It happens all the time in my 31 years.
Actually, when they signed Hassan Whiteside the first time, we were all on board out of the G League, and he was a revelation. It's when they said 4 years, $98 million that we were like, years, $98 million. Yeah, that was the difference.
No, that's the one I said, no. I understand the method behind the madness because they were hoping that they were going to turn him around and Riley's love for the big man and his obsession with the big man. So I get all of that. By the way, do you think that nostalgia is finally gone from Riley, that he's kind of turned the page on no more old basketball, that center just doesn't exist anymore? They don't even read him anymore.
I think he's also taking a longer read on players who revitalize in Miami that maybe you don't go out and reward them to the degree. Remember the Deion Waiters contract, the James Johnson contract, the Tyler Johnson contract. So I think the Heat, well, we're having it this season also with Caleb Martin and Max Strus and Gabe Vincent. Yeah. But no one's running out to give them 4 years, $100 million. So the developmental part has been great, but I think the Heat have stepped back now and said, you know what? Larger sample size, please. And I think that's important because they went through the Deion Waiters, the James Johnson, the Tyler Johnson phase. And you know what? Like everyone, you learn from mistakes. There's nothing wrong in making mistakes, Big O. You were talking about Dale Talon and other people. It's when you multiply your mistakes that you can question them. Dale Talon made some bad moves early on, but the thought was, okay, let's give him some time. Brian Flores had some missteps, but you give him some time. But then, you know, the definition of insanity is repeating, you know?
Yes.
That's Amen. What happened with Brian Flores. Oh, crap, another bad start. How many of these can we survive? Dale Talon, another Keith Yandel, another too late guy in his career. How much can we survive? So I think that's the difference. I think the Heat have learned from those mistakes. And if they have to make the hard decision, and look, some don't work out well. Big O, we know about the Jay Crowder decision. It helped Phoenix get to last year's NBA Finals. And yet, you know what? A year from now, we might also say, not the worst thing in the world. The Heat came around with the PJ Tucker signing. So sometimes when you learn from your mistakes, there were other kinds of mistakes. But at least you're willing to say, okay, this didn't work. Let's look in another direction, just like with nonstop big men.
Before we continue with the Heat, on the NBA side, what's happening with the Simmons thing? Because obviously Shaq had his way with Simmons again the other night on TNT. You know, talk about how Embiid is a guy that you could criticize and he'll man up. But this guy, you know, obviously, you know, crawls into some kind of a corner. I don't know. I'm paraphrasing. But Shaq was kind of taking his shots. How long does this thing fester? Because that's also not productive for the franchise to have that lingering over them.
You know, Big O, to me, if the Sixers don't make a move by the February 10th trading deadline, it's a big middle finger to Joel Embiid. Because here is a guy having not only an all-star season,
that's a great point,
but quite possibly an MVP season, and very much when you look at it numerically, a statistically like all-time season. You can't waste that. That's the lesson we learned from Dwayne Wade and other players when you didn't surround them. That's when Pat Riley said, okay, enough. Let's get Dwayne Wade Shaq. Let's bring in Antoine Walker and Jason Williams and James Posey in support. That's what you have to do. He did it with LeBron when he said, hey, we need Mike Miller too. We need Shane Battier too. We need Ray Allen too. So to me, the Philadelphia arrogance of Daryl Morey, if he does nothing to get the maximum possible deal, you're throwing aside a season of Joel Embiid. And let's face it, Big O, he is somewhat injury prone. You never know when he's going to go down again. I will say this. The Philadelphia 76ers are now in sixth place, two games behind the Heat for first place. If you add even a Buddy Hield or a C.J. McCollum, and if you can get it, a Jaylen Brown, I would, as much as I'm impressed with what the Heat are doing, I might vault the Sixers to the top threat spot in the Eastern Conference if they get something. But from a Heat perspective, I'm totally fine on them doing nothing. because they roll out that team. And yes, you have a Danny Green. And yes, you have a Seth Curry. And they're nice players. But as you know, Big O, you need that second. You need that third guy. The Heat have done that with Lowry. They've done that with Bam. They've done that with Hero. You can sit down and debate for a long time who is the second best player on the Sixers. And if you're debating who your second best player is, you're probably not going very far in the playoffs.
No, you're right. I never thought of it that way, but you're so right that you're kind of wasting an incredible year by
Embiid. It's a middle finger. It's a middle finger to Joel Embiid. Hey, Joel, go out and bust your ass and give us 50 points a night because we need all 50 points. But you want help? No, I'm going to be the greatest GM ever and get the greatest swindle, and I'm going to get Bradley Beal, and I'm going to get Damian Lillard. And let's face it, Big O, if he does get Bradley Beal after the season, he's still wasting this Joel Embiid season. Not to denigrate or anything like that. I'm not so sure Joel Embiid can play better than he's playing right now.
Do you? Well, the talk is obviously with what's going on with Harden, because obviously this Nets situation is just still kind of screwed up here, because everybody keeps talking about, well, if you get them all three together, but now whether you have the Kyrie situation, now people are talking about maybe James Harden's thinking about moving on after this season. And obviously Daryl Morey is over in Philadelphia. Is that the guy that they try to get?
Well, look, if you're trading Ben Simmons for James Harden, I'm moving the Sixers to the top. I don't know how they share the ball or any of that. But when you have those two players like that, you have a hell of a quality. And the Brooklyn thing is another example of you can't just willy-nilly pick three guys off the street. When the Heat did the big three, they went to Dwayne Wade. They went to LeBron James. They said, who's your number three? Who works best? Who will sacrifice? Will you sacrifice? And they came up with Chris Bosh. And they had a lovely run, four straight years to the finals, two championships. The Nets just threw a bunch of guys together because they were available. And now I think of James Harden sits there and goes, if winning is not the single most important thing to Kyrie Irving when it comes to this vaccination stuff and all his other stops when he's been unhappy, and if KD's going to get injured this much, he's had problems with Warriors, sat out almost a full season, now he has the knee issue again, do I really need this? So what I'm saying is from the start, the Heat big three were wed to each other. We're in this together. And if Dwayne has to play off the ball and LeBron has to be ball handler and Chris Bosh has to become three-point shooting center, we're doing that. But in Brooklyn, James Harden still wants to be James Harden. Kyrie Irving still wants to be Kyrie Irving. Kevin Durant still wants to be Kevin Durant. And let's be honest, Big O, Kevin Durant wasn't Kevin Durant in Golden State. He also had a step back for Steph and for Klay also. So that's the difference. This whole thing of super teams, it's not just bringing great players together. It's bringing the right mix of great players.
Yeah, because the big three here manipulated it together to make it happen. So it was already a chemistry thing right from the get-go, where this was kind of, okay, let's force the pieces together. Yes. With Boston, you had two of them together, so then they went and acquired the third guy, who is a selfless guy in Ray Allen also. So, you know, that kind of, I think that's why maybe they jived together for so many years. And here's the caveat or the extra part of this whole thing that we learned. The first year, even with the three coming together, the franchise could not complete the puzzle around them. And that first year they struggled and obviously lost to Dallas, who was not better as an offensive unit, but they were better as a defensive unit. And that's probably what was the difference.
And they were more cohesive.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
More cohesive as a team, and that matters. Right. You have to mesh. Matter of fact, Big O, I'm going to bring this full circle to get us back to the Heat. So last night they selected the starters in each conference, and the next logical question becomes, who's the Heat's all-star? And this shows you when you play as a team. Because now the coaches are voting. You can make a case for Jimmy Butler. You can make a case for Kyle Lowry. You can make a case for Tyler Hero. And if you didn't miss the time, you can make a case for Bam Adebayo. And they could wind up splitting the vote. And I think at the end of the day, only Jimmy Butler is going to get in. Yet in no way is he the singular star of this team. Because in just as many nights, it could be Bam or Tyler or Kyle. But that's how this team is built. That's what makes a great super team, or at least trying to be a super team. When you can't definitively every night say who your best player is. Because it's a variety of players. You know in the Sixers, your best player better be Joel Embiid or you don't win. You know on the Nets at a home game without Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant injured, it has to be James Harden or you don't win. it's going to be really interesting. And I think the coaches could split the vote. And I think every coach agrees. I mean, you know what's funny yesterday is they named the starters in each conference. Who's in first place in the East? The Miami Heat, they don't have an all-star starter. Who's in first place in the Western Conference? The Phoenix Suns, they don't have an all-star starter. Why? Because they have great ensembles of talent. You know, whether it's DeAndre Ayton, whether it's Devin Booker, whether it's Chris Paul, Jay Crowder, Bridges, however you can go down the line there in Phoenix, you have the same question. I'm really curious if the coaches come to a consensus that this player is the Heat's all-star. Because I could see some coaches saying, no, Lowry has transformed this team with his leadership. And I could see some coaches go, man, Tyler Hero has been the spark to that team having this record. It's going to be very interesting next Thursday when they name the All-Star reserves as far as where the Heat will stand.
Yeah, and I would imagine that a guy like Tyler should be getting some of that love when they announce the reserves. I mean, he's kind of earned that right.
But the guards are so good in the Eastern Conference. I mean, there's two guys
to be good too, man.
Yeah, well, I'm saying, but right off the top, I mean, you have to put Zach LaVine and Fred VanVleet in. They have been by far outclassed themselves from the remaining contenders. That only leaves three other guards. You know, then you're looking at guys like a Drew Holiday, and you're looking at some other guys from the leading teams also who deserve consideration. I think Harden has to get in because Durant's not playing because of the knee injury. Backcourt's tough. It'll be a lot easier for Jimmy Butler when you're going against the Jared Allen, maybe a Pascal Siakam. It's a less challenging course to get into the All-Star selection. So positionally, it could be impactful also. And I think you got to get a Cleveland player in. Darius Garland's been great. Jared Allen's been great. Cleveland's a half game out of first place. And the game's in Cleveland. So you have to keep that in mind also. Keep in mind the other thing, Big O. After the reserves are selected, you have your 12-man teams. Adam Silver then picks the replacements. He's going to pick a replacement for Kevin Durant. And like I've been saying on the show for weeks now on the Acura Pembroke Pines Report, the All-Star Game is in Cleveland on February 20th. Who the hell wants to go to that?
Oh, God. I was just there for the concert, and I had a good time, I will say, but it is kind of a gloomy thing. I would like
to have seen you convince the missus, let's go to Cleveland for a weekend in February.
Yeah, no. She was – I mean, it was Genesis – Pro Football Hall of Fame, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and I'm out of there. So it was 36 hours of that, and I'm out. So it was all good. Now, speaking of Zach LaVine, and here's – we got to appreciate this as Heat fans. Okay, so we got the Nets. They got their drama. We got the Lakers. They got their drama. We got the Bulls. You know, they're having a really good year, but all of a sudden the reports are – Zach LaVine's thinking about greener pastures next year, moving on. And you start to look at some of these dysfunctional situations around the NBA. And man, not only are the Heat playing well, not only have they overcome every stinking injury possible and COVID to still stay in first place, but it's a cohesive unit. There's chemistry. They care for each other. There is zero drama right now. And I'm looking at Chicago, who's supposedly challenging for Miami for number one, and there's more drama.
Yeah, but the Bulls have done everything possible they could. The Lonzo Ball trade was a fantastic trade. You know, yeah. What did they give up? Garrett Temple, they gave up Tomas Sandoransky, almost nothing there. What they've done to round out their roster with some of their other moves, you know, you can't question the way that they have pulled that team together. The Alex Caruso free agent signing, how much does LeBron James miss that guy? So again, if management does right by you, if you're bringing a quality coach, of which Billy Donovan's a contender for coach of the year, that's all you can do. And if players get wanderlust and they want to be somewhere else and they think the grass is greener, that's never changed in today's NBA. You know what? Zach LaVine's decision will come down, I think, a long way to what Chicago does in the playoffs. And if it's another Bulls year of one and done, you might say, I've had enough of this. But you know what? If they get deep in the playoffs and it's going to be challenging for them, then I think it's another story. So I think we need to wait to the postseason and see what happens there.
Not that I give a rat's ass about the Bulls, but I'm thinking, wow, if I'm a Bulls fan, I'm having a good year. And all of a sudden, one of my stars in the middle of the good year saying, you know, yeah, this is nice, but I might be moving on. And it's like, damn, dude.
Basketball free agency. basketball free agency is like no other sport. I mean, it's just, you know, like we talk about, the reason we're on here in the Accurate Pembroke Pines Report in July and August is because that's when the stuff gets juicy. That's what basketball is. And again, it's a matter of who asked the question, how they asked the question. I can go right now. You want me to create controversy via Big O? So on Monday?
Let's go.
Okay. So I'm going to ask PJ Tucker on Sunday. I'm going to go to him. PJ, you have a player option next season for $7.3 million. Aren't you worth more money? And PJ Tucker will tell me he is worth more money. And Monday on the Accurate Pembroke Pines Report, we're going to talk about, oh my God, the Heat are going to lose PJ Tucker. That's what the NBA is. We're half sports, half gossip.
Okay. I like it. All right. I asked you last time, is Duncan Robinson turning the corner? Because another really good performance.
The Heat rotation is turning the corner. I mean, you look at the last game with Duncan's three-pointers. They're all coming off of Bam Adebayo assists. So yeah. We even said this. We said we thought even with Duncan's struggles, when Bam comes back and Jimmy comes back, Duncan fits. Again, Big O, it's about how your roster fits. It's not about players 1 through 8, and let's get the 8 best players. Duncan Robinson fits in a starting lineup with Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler. So as long as you know Bam and Jimmy are there, Duncan Robinson is exactly what you need. When Bam was out for 7 weeks, Duncan struggled. He didn't have his guy. When Jimmy was out with the tailbone and the ankle, Duncan struggled. There weren't those driving kicks. That's the difference. You're not only building a roster, you're building cohesion. And that's what you're seeing now. And the parallel would be even what the Panthers are doing. The way they built 4 lines of guys who fit together and Right. You make it work. So that's what it's also. It's about building a team, not building a bunch of stars like they've tried in Brooklyn.
Zito has been just, wow, dude. I mean, outside of Heat management, that dude has, well, he has been so damn impressive with the way he saw what this team needed, and he...
Well, let's also put in Jim Larrañaga's roster building. He's learned to use the portal. He's learned to use, you know, older transfers. Oh my God, they got like 7 6-year seniors. Give the guy credit. So many coaches balk at that. I'm not doing one and duns. I'm not going to the portal. I'm not going to bring a guy.
Well, we have less of those now. We have less of those one and done, because they're going to be.
And Jim Larrañaga has figured out the system. And a lot of times it's the older coaches who were very, you know, stuck in their ways. So I know he's not a GM. But I think for what he's done for his roster, he's done awfully well, that he belongs to be in the Zito Riley conversation.
If he was in one of those schools that brings the McDonald's All-Americans and all that, he would have national championships.
I don't know if he'd be comfortable with that. I think he loves taking his 5-out offense and his guys shooting threes and double teaming on defense. I think he's having more fun now than if he had, say, a Mike Krzyzewski recruiting class. Not that he would ever pass on that.
There's no doubt about it. By the way, I don't know if I asked this because I was talking about this earlier. Does Spo belong with Shula, with Riley, and Ron Frazier? I don't know if I ended up asking you that.
Yeah, we did,
week.
And I said that Eric Spoelstra has been a better Miami Heat coach than Pat Riley. That's not to take away from what Pat accomplished, obviously, in Los Angeles and Showtime. But when we're rating the all-time best Heat coaches, Eric Spoelstra is number 1, Pat Riley's number 2, probably Stan Van Gundy number 3. That's the difference. With this team, Eric Spoelstra has been the franchise's all-time preeminent coach.
All right, tonight, any injuries, anything we got to worry about tonight?
Again, Kyle Lowry, the personal reasons, not getting into it. I can't
stand why are they dying to find out?
Right, but I can't understand people like who are getting angry. Well, he's getting paid anyway. Forget his contract. We all have families. We all have priorities. The Heat are not someone who's sitting by. This is not Lou Williams going for the hot wings at some strip club in Atlanta. Like, give the guy a break. Everything is – hell, they're 4-1 without him. So it's not like there's a crisis point, number one.
This is a good thing.
I've been told Jimmy's looking question.
Jimmy's this is a good thing. His body is resting. This is good. He doesn't need this mileage. They're winning.
Hey, look how Bam Adebayo looked after he came back from 7 weeks off. Look how Tyler Hero looked when he missed 3 games with COVID. You have that. Jimmy Butler's listed as questionable with a toe issue. For all my older readers, he does not have gout, but he'll be fine. I heard he's taking a cortisone shot, so he might miss shoot around today, but he'll be there for the game tonight. So they should be whole enough. You know, the Clippers have been getting down by a lot. The Heat will probably have that same situation. Saturday, they have the Raptors. And again, this starts a run of 4 games in 5 nights. The NBA doesn't schedule these anymore, but because of the San Antonio postponement, they had to redo this. So when I talk to you on Monday in our Accurate Pembroke Pines report, it'll be 2 of the 4 and 5 out of the way. We'll get a better read as the Heat head out on the road.
And I'll close out with this, and I'll stay consistent. Early in the season, when they were missing some, what did I tell you about the young guys? This was going to be a blessing because it's what? Development time. Well, guess what? While Lowry's out, you know, we've always been a little concerned about the backup point guard right. position, how it's going to be handled. With him out several games, this puts Spo in a position where he can measure how he distributes the ball, how he runs the offense without Lowry on the court at times, because when we get to the playoffs, there'll be moments that he has to rest. And in those moments, he's going to say, this is how I'm going to run the offense because this is what I did when he was out. So this allows Spo as a coach to adjust. This allows the players to kind of define themselves while Lowry's out, who's going to run the team, how they're going to run the team, those kind of things in certain situations. This all becomes a blessing. If everybody looks at it this way, I think you'll see that that's the way it's actually ending up, a blessing for the Miami Heat because they actually don't need Lowry right now in the regular season.
You know what? Coming Monday on the Big O Show, Acura Pembroke Pines report, can the Miami Heat afford to keep Gabe Vincent? That's Monday, the Gabe Vincent update. We're creating controversy only here on the Big O Show.
I love it.
So smash that damn like button.
That's right. That's what you got to do. Follow him on Twitter at Ira Heatbeat, catch his work at the South Florida Sun Sentinel, and subscribe, folks. Make sure you subscribe. Very important to support our local journalist. Ira, as always, thank you, my brother. Appreciate you. Have a great weekend.
Gabe Vincent Gate is only getting started. Thank you, Big O.
There you go. I love it. He is awesome. Ira Winderman. All right.